Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. Give us a call at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. So call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have this wonderful new identity in Christ Jesus, and it's ours because Jesus is alive. That is the good news of the gospel. He gives us new birth. We're born again into the family of God. We're given the identity as a child of God, and there's all kinds of benefits that come with that. The fact that we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We have so much in Him. There's no more condemnation. There's forgiveness. There's righteousness. There's holiness. And we've even gained a new citizenship. We may be citizens of the United States of America or of Canada, but if we're children of God, we have a citizenship that's much more valuable than that. And Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So as children of God, we have a brand new citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. Well, what does that mean? Well, Paul goes on to explain in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. He says this, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ." So just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead physically, you have been raised from the dead spiritually. So you've been raised with Christ Jesus. So since that is true, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. We have to set our mind on things above, not on things below. And then as we set our mind on things above, we can live as citizens of heaven in a foreign land.
Yeah.
We are foreigners and strangers and aliens here. Our home is somewhere else. So we are to set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. We don't see this citizenship. Our passport isn't stamped with citizen of heaven. But we've been born again into the family of God. We've been given a new identity. And as a result of that, we have a new citizenship. And our mind should be up there on that new citizenship so that it can direct how we live here and now. So who are you? You're a citizen of heaven. That's good news.
That's a good residence.
It is a great residence, and one day we'll actually be there in God's presence and in His presence forever.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Want to hear from you on this edition? Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free wherever you hear the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go talk to our friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri, listening to us on the Internet today. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Bradley.
How my wonderful, wonderful brothers, Bob Davis and Bob Christopher and Richard, sitting with you today or not?
I am here.
There he
is. Oh, boy. Hey, I don't so much have a question, but I listen, I listen every day. And a lot of people, several people that have called in over the months and even in this month with new identity, I absolutely don't know where they sit or who they listen to or what they've been taught, but it's very apparent that, as you all know, even my family have some struggles with this indwelling life of Jesus Christ and the new identity that we have in Him. And as you've said, we will be present with the Lord physically someday, But, you know, I'm not sure people really understand that we're right in the presence of God, right within ourselves, in that new identity, in that new creation that we are. And for some reason, you know, I don't know that we can talk about it enough, but it really is a blessing that you all talk about it, because I, as you know, I watch all the stuff on TV and listen to, you know, what's on the Christian radio here in St. Louis, Missouri, and really, it's not talked about. So I just thank God and praise God and thank God that you guys listen to the Holy Spirit and are telling people about this indwelling presence of God in us.
Yeah, Brad, that is the good news. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that he could come and live inside of us, take up residence. It's God coming to be with us. That's a theme throughout the Word of God. We see that in the nation of Israel, when God's presence was with the people. What was that? A foreshadowing of what was going to happen when Christ sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. That's what God had always planned. That was always in his heart and on his mind. And that day of Pentecost, he brought it into being, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of the hearts of men and women that day. And he's been coming to live inside of the hearts of men and women ever since that day. And together we make up this body of Christ, the temple. We are the dwelling place of God, Christ in us, our hope of glory. So if we expect change to happen, our hope has to be pinned upon Christ. It can't be pinned upon our self-efforts. It can't be pinned upon our faithfulness or our obedience or those sort of things. Why? Because we're going to blow it. But if we can trust in Christ and hope in him and rely upon him, we're going to see incredible things take place in and through us. That's God's promise to us. Absolutely. So, Brad,
you know, a lot of people kind of take issue with staying inside the New Testament and the New Covenant so much. But we can take what you've just talked about all the way back to the very beginning in the garden, in that the first two chapters where God showed us his intent, his original intent with his creation when he breathed life and his spirit into Adam. And bring that all the way forward to Jesus with us, we see the same exact picture. God came upon Mary and put himself in place to be inside his creation, and then again when he made us new creations, that same exact picture from his original intent was carried through.
Yes, indeed. Well, Brad, always good to hear from you, my friend. Thank you.
I love you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, plenty of open lines. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. Plenty of time on the clock for you to fully get the great expansive answer that you may be looking for. So give us a call, friends, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, an email question from Rick. He says, I was raised Catholic but got born again in 1992. Back in this past March, I felt like I was under spiritual attack. Since then, I don't feel saved, and I have been experiencing condemnation. This has really been a spiritual faith shakeup. I feel like I need to be born again for a second time. Can you offer any advice? That's from Rick, who sent his question by email.
Well, that's a good question, and simple, and certainly I think many people will identify with Rick's dilemma there. The fact that we don't feel saved, the fact that we feel like we're under condemnation. Are any of those things true? I mean, we may feel those things, but are those being directed at us by God? Is he condemning us? Is he saying that we need to be born again? What is truth in this matter? Richard, how would you answer this question?
The truth is that none of those feelings are based in reality. They are all brought to us by the enemy. Call him Satan, call him the devil, call him whatever name you choose. But he is lying through his teeth. He has found a way in through our armor, especially when we think of it as our armor. When we're going along smoothly and and, you know, we think we're doing fine, and he finds one of those little buttons to push, and it all comes back to us. But it's still not true. If I belong to Jesus, I belong to him completely. There is no condemnation. I have his Holy Spirit living in me. I am his child. It's at times like this where this issue that we're talking about, all the aspects of identity, really comes into play. Because you may not be able to see it or touch it or taste it, but you have to accept by faith that I am a child of God. And it's perfectly okay during these bad times, and we all have them, I have them, everybody has them, to stop and say, just a minute, this is a lie. I am a child of the living God. And rehearse that. What does it mean for me to be a child of the living God? Because that's the only way out of this kind of funk. You don't get out of it by reversing the cycle. You get out of it by stepping through it and back into Christ by faith. You return to where you already have been. We tend to get these ideas that we've left Christ, but we haven't, and he hasn't left us. But mentally, we get off the track, and every time the Spirit will bring us back and say, no, you're my child. You are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. You can step away from that belief and step back in the truth.
Yeah. And usually when that happens, our eyes start to focus on our sins, mm-hmm. you know, our failures, the things that, you know, our mistakes when we mess up. And we start to really start asking questions about those mistakes. Well, what does God think about me? And that's when the enemy comes along and really hammers those questions.
Yeah, and he never knocks on the door and says, excuse me, Richard, this is Satan. I want to accuse you.
That's exactly.
It's me. I start going, oh, my goodness, yeah. Lord, how, you know, and away you go.
Yeah, he speaks to us in our own voices.
Yes.
So we're not cognizant that it's coming from outside. We're thinking it's coming from within. But the fact of the matter, that's not the case. And so we have to recognize and be discerning about the source of those thoughts. Mm-hmm. If they're not from God, and if they're thoughts of condemnation, we know they're not from God because in Christ there is no condemnation. He does not condemn us, period, end of story. Will never condemn us. So we need to stand firm in this truth, discern where those thoughts are coming from, and then have the courage to reject them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we have an excellent new product that I think would be a great help to Rick and to many people who might be experiencing that same thing.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Interesting, somebody emailed me and said, that title's not biblical. I'm like, what? Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. It's true. This world is broken.
Absolutely.
There's nothing out there that is good for us. This world system that we all live in.
Yeah.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So if we're going to find some solid footing, we have to find it in Christ Jesus. We have to find it in the love of God. We have to find it in the grace of God. We have to find it in the life of God. We have to find it in the promises of God and in the power of God. All of those are things that God wants us to fully embrace. I mean, why do we feel accused? Well, because we have bought the lie that God isn't loving me right now. And how could he? Because I've sinned, because I have failed, because I have disappointed him, because I have just made him sick and disgusted with me by my own actions, by my own thoughts, by my own evil behavior. So God, therefore, cannot love me. Is that true? No. But we drift over there all the time. Well, how are we going to get away from that? Well, we're going to have to anchor ourselves to the love of Christ that was fully demonstrated to us through the death of Jesus. Sometimes we feel like we have to earn God's love when we're seeing God through our sins. And boy, that clouds our vision and gives us a faulty view of God. But when we see him through our sins, then we buy into this philosophy that we have to work and earn our way back into God's good graces. Well, if you have to work into God's good graces, then grace is no longer grace.
No.
You've earned something, but we can't earn anything. It's a gift by God through Jesus Christ. So we have to stand in that grace and his life. It's not our life anymore. We've been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, yet Christ lives in us.
Yeah.
And then power. How are we going to overcome the things of this world? How are we going to say no to sin? How are we going to resist temptation? Well, if you go off on your own and try to battle all of those enemies, you are going to get beat real quickly because you don't have what it takes.
Guaranteed.
So if you're resting in your power, just go ahead and give up.
Yeah.
But you have a greater power living in you, the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust in his power to do in and through you what only he can do. And when you find solid footing in all of those areas, you're going to really start enjoying this Christian life. And it's a product called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. It's available right now through Basic Gospel.
Yeah, these messages by Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch are available in video form by a CD and by MP3 formats, all three of those formats, DVD, CD, or MP3. And we encourage you to go online to Basic Gospel, to stand2014.com, and that's where you'll find an order form. And you can also call our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, it's 1-800-727-2828 or stand2014.com. And an email question from Maria, who kind of wants to take us to task on something that she heard on the broadcast. She said, recently you said, if I'm not misunderstanding, women being pastor overseers over a body, that may just be a male role. Are you saying that women can't be pastors? And if so, what about all the women that are pastors and overseers of a body, a church? Please explain to me again. That's from Maria.
Well, we'll be glad to explain that. We certainly preface that whole question that we received last week with some truth that women are in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a child of God and you're a female, God has called you to be a minister of the new covenant and a minister of reconciliation, just like he's called every male child of God to be a minister of the new covenant and a minister of reconciliation. He's mandated that for all of his children. Doesn't matter your sex. It doesn't matter gender, those sort of things. So we're all called to be involved in ministry. There are certainly women who have taken some leadership roles in ministry, and they're doing incredible jobs in churches and various organizations, and then just individually around the world. There are people like June Hunt, who has a fabulous counseling radio broadcast, two of them, as a matter of fact, and she has written just gobs and gobs of resources on just hundreds of issues that we encounter in daily life. God is using her in an incredible way. Many of our listeners are probably familiar with Beth Moore and the Bible studies that she does. She has been given an incredible platform. So there are women that are doing incredible things for the glory of God in delivering this ministry of the new covenant and this ministry of reconciliation. The issue is about pastors overseeing a church. There's preachers. That's a different function than maybe a pastor. And so the Bible talks about women not having authority over men. I think there's a little bit more to that, some cultural things that were taking place there. But that's where most people would draw the line and say, you know, a woman can't be a pastor. Now, is everybody going to agree with that? No, not everybody is going to agree with that. Some churches hold to that dogmatically. Other churches are a little more lenient on that. You know, that folks are going to come to their own opinions. But that's usually where the line is drawn, and that's what we were saying last week.
Maria, I hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you and to everybody who has that question. We still have some time on the clock, friends. We want to hear from you. This is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. You can join us by phone right now at 1-800-677-9377. We'd like to answer your question on this edition. So give us a call, 800-677-9377. Question from Bob, who wrote to us to ask, if a believer commits murder, why does he still get to go to heaven?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, why would a believer who lied still get to go to heaven? Why would a believer who cheated on his income tax still get to go to heaven? Why would a believer who did whatever? It's just the way God has set it up. When he saves somebody, he saves somebody forever. But we have all of these hypotheticals. And that's, you know, we're trying to answer hypothetical situations. God isn't a hypothetical God. He's a real God, and he only deals in reality. And if he's really saved someone, then he has really saved that person. So we have to recognize that. So these hypotheticals, they're interesting, they're intriguing. They're fascinating conversation, but they're just that, hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to trust God when he says that when he saves someone completely because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's true. I'm certainly going to believe God more so than am I going to believe anyone else.
Absolutely.
Because he knows. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that extends grace to us. He's the one that does it all.
Yeah.
So if he said he saved us and he saved us forever, then I'm going to believe that.
Absolutely. Bob, hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you as well.
Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk with Jennifer listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Welcome.
I have a quick question. Well, I don't know if it's right, but my dad has been, I know that he gave his heart to God a long time ago before I was born, but my parents split up and he deals with homosexuality, and I know that he's been practicing that for a long time, and he never really came up with family, but we know, and whenever I speak to him regarding, you know, just Christian stuff or whatever, you can tell that he has a deep struggle for, you know, having his relationship with God, and I'm always worried about if my father dies, he's not going to go to heaven. I don't know how to reconcile that.
Well, Jennifer, the issue is he's either going to be in God's presence because he's believed Jesus, or he's not going to be in God's presence because he's denied Jesus. That's the issue. It's not his homosexuality. God is not counting sins against us. That's the good news of this gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of reconciliation. So, Jennifer, I think you have an opportunity to minister that reconciliation to your dad, to say to him that God isn't counting his sins against him and that he has sent Jesus so that your dad could have life everlasting. It's a wonderful way to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's what I'd like to do, Jennifer. We have a wonderful CD that really explains the gospel message, and I would like to send that to you and then encourage you to put that into your dad's hands and to say to him, this is something that is meaningful to me, that's helped me, and would you listen to it and let me know what you think? And maybe that will open up a great discussion, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jennifer. You hold on, and we will get all your information, and we'll send that to you. Thanks for your call, and
yes,
thanks for your love for your dad, and God bless you for that. You hang on.
In addition to that and the Stand product we talked about, there are many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. Bob Christopher has produced an excellent four-message series called When God Is For You. In this series, you'll learn the truth about God's love for you and realize your true identity in Jesus Christ. And what an identity that is, guys. When God Is For You, a four-message series by Bob Christopher. Request your copy today when you visit basicgospel.net or phone your order to 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, and learn to live in the confidence that God is indeed for you. When God Is For You by Bob Christopher. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.